Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Well, you're in for a treat tonight. We have one of my best friends in the world here preaching tonight, bringing a message. He's our pastor in Clarksville, Tennessee. Some of you guys know that in 2004, I left Murfreesboro, where I was a teacher and a coach, and eventually on staff at our church in Murfreesboro, to plant a church in Clarksville. I pastored that church. I was Batman and he was Robin for 7 years. Church grew and did well as reaching out to the campus at Austin Peay and Fort Campbell. That was probably one of the most amazing, impactful times to be a pastor among a military community, 5th Special Forces, 160th guys in the middle of 2004 to 2010 and 11. And of course, these guys have carried on the torch now, but it changed me as a pastor. It changed my family, my wife, my children. It was forever impacting. And because Pastor Lance was such a strong leader, I realized whatever I was doing, he could do and probably do even better. And so I was able to move on to help start our campus ministry at University of Kentucky in Lexington, which we'll go tomorrow. We have a big outreach, continuing the work there, helping at University of Kentucky. And then eventually land back here with you. So you might want to send me back to Clarksville. Pastor Lance might want to have me back in Clarksville, but he's a great pastor. His wife, Deanna, is amazing, and they have 5 awesome children. Come on up, Pastor Lance, preach to us.
All right. How's everybody doing?
Great.
Well, good to see you. What Pastor Mike did not tell you was our first introduction to one another as I went to high school right down the street at Brentwood Academy. Mike was a football coach at Northeast High School. We played each other in the playoffs 2 years in a row, and you know who won. Obviously, we won. We beat Pastor Mike. True story. And then when I got born again, God began to impact my life standing right down front, right where you're sitting, sweetheart. I was standing right there at a Sunday night service. It was packed out. Never had been to a church like Bethel before. I grew up going to a traditional church. And when people started clapping their hands and raising their hands, my eyes got real wide. Like, what is going around here? What is going on around here? The only time anybody ever lifted a hand in my church was when somebody said, hey, next week we're not going to meet. Everybody's like, yeah, that's all. Nobody ever got excited. So it was very new, but I'm standing right there. God began to do a great work in my life. A couple of weeks later, this was April 14th of 2000. Gave my life over to Jesus Christ. And it's amazing when you surrender your life over to Jesus, what he can begin to do in your life. He became the Lord and the Savior of my life. And from then on, I got called into full-time ministry the very next year with youth pastors there in Murfreesboro. And then obviously what Mike talked about, going out and starting our church in Clarksville. Guys, I'm so glad to be here tonight. Listen, you're going to leave encouraged tonight. We're going to be in James, the book of James. And what we're going to do tonight is we're simply going to walk through, I promise you I won't read you the whole book, but we're going to walk through really the first chapter. Because the first chapter, I believe, is going to encourage you as you go home to begin if you've never had to read the book of James. When you look at the life of James, what you begin to see is this was a pretty cool guy. Number one, he was the little brother of Jesus, so that's kind of cool. Number two, as you look at how he really led, how he lived his life, he was a leader of leaders. He was a pastor. He was very compassionate. He was a man full of conviction. Really, to be honest with you, he's exactly the way Pastor Mike is. If you want to know who James was, Pastor Mike, you look at Pastor Mike and who he is, man, they have a lot of similarities. James actually pastored one church. He pastored in Jerusalem, and he really spent all his ministerial career right there in Jerusalem. And the thing I love about the book of James is a very practical book, because he's a local church pastor, so he's going to be very practical. And so if you like practical things, you're going to love what James talks about. The thing that you notice as you read James is actually James, he never talked about the crucifixion of Jesus or the cross of Christ. And there's a reason for that. Because James, he was friends with the Apostle Paul. And he knew that Paul always talked about the crucifixion of Jesus, the cross. See, Paul focused on how salvation is received all throughout his books. And so James, what James focuses on is how salvation is verified. And what the book of James really focuses on is this simple statement. What does true living faith look like? If you've ever asked yourself, am I growing in my relationship with Jesus? Is my relationship with God increasing or am I stagnant? The book of James will help us with that. Because the book of James is all about knowing who you are and actually going out and doing something for Jesus. Now, James understands this first and foremost, that as a follower of Christ, that you and I are going to face tests. We're going to face trials. We're going to face temptations. How many will say, oh my, or amen to that? Amen. There's going to be tests and trials that we go through. And really, as we look through James, especially 1 through 19, what we really see is this. And I'm going to give you two big points tonight. Number one is this, is that every test is a treasure. Or every trial is a treasure. Now, when I first say that, you're probably thinking, man, you must be crazy. There's no way that tests, trials are a treasure because they are very difficult to walk through, aren't they? But what we're going to see tonight is we're going to see that tests are productive. Trials can be productive in our life. See, friends, anything of intrinsic value has to go through a test to see what it's really worth. Gold has to go through a test. Diamonds, come on, ladies, diamonds have to go through a test. Anything that has value. The only way we can find out what its true worth is by what? Going through a test. You and I, as followers of Jesus, we possess one of the greatest things we could ever possess on this planet, and that is salvation. Our salvation is valuable. Then what makes us think that it cannot be tested? See, your salvation tested actually really proves what's on the inside. Is he really the Lord of my life? Is the gospel firmly planted in me? So James is going to focus on this. And because he knows we're going to face tests, he starts out, I love it, saying, count it all joy when you fall into what? Various trials or various tests. James is telling us, tests, trials, temptations, baby, they're on their way. And so you have to come into those with the right mindset, the right attitude, and that is the mindset and the attitude of joy. Now, what I love about joy is actually different than happiness. See, a lot of times we think they're the same thing. Happiness is based on my circumstance. I'm happy because this is happening. I'm happy because I got a raise. See, but joy is never based on a circumstance. Joy is really in spite, friend, of your circumstance. I'm joyful because of who Christ is and what he's done for my life. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He goes on to say, knowing that the testing of your faith produces. See, the question we have to answer tonight is, does our faith produce something? Authentic living faith is supposed to produce something in our life. If it's not producing something, then there's something not right on the inside of us. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces what? He says, steadfastness. Another word for that is perseverance or diligence. Is your faith producing that as you go through the test? See, every test to me is like a CrossFit workout. Now, in Clarksville, where I pastor, that is a very big thing. CrossFit is huge in my community. You guys know what I'm talking about? There are these workouts that you do that are timed. Now, what you have to understand about me is one of my themes or who I really am made, if you really look down in me, what I really am all about is I am a competitor. I love to compete. Amen. So what that means is I don't put myself in a position where I know I'm going to lose. So you will never find Lance Phillips doing a CrossFit workout. Because there are male and female alike in the workout gym that are going to whoop my tail if I step in there. So I don't step in there. But every test is like that. Because all of us, what? We want to lose weight. We want to get fit. But we don't want to do the disciplinary things of eating right, working out. See, if I were to ask you, hey, how many want to grow in your relationship with Jesus? How many want to reach your destiny? How many want to see the will of God performed in my life? Man, everybody, yeah. Then I say, well, how many want to go through a test? No. See, but really, those two questions are actually the same question. Because for me to reach the will of God, for me to be conformed into the image of Jesus, I've got to go through a test. I've got to go through a trial. So we have to count it all joy, knowing that these tests is going to produce something in our life. He says, produces steadfastness. Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, he also knows that in the test, we're going to need something. And so he goes on to say, if any of you lacks wisdom, what does he say? Ask of God, who does what? He gives it generously to all who ask without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, I love that he said wisdom, because some might say, well, why didn't God say we should ask for knowledge? Knowledge is good. But wisdom is the ability to apply the knowledge that God has given you. Amen. See, so we, as we go through the test, we need wisdom. Lord, how do I apply this or that to the test so that what you want to produce is produced in my life? And he says, God gives without reproach. That means no matter who you are, where you come from, you can ask of God and he will give. And what I love about this, it says he will give generously. But he says, we have to do what? We got to ask in faith. For he, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that man or person must not receive what? Suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He begins to talk about when we have doubt that we are like tossed like a wave here and there. Now, as I read that we have to ask in faith with no doubting, those words, three words, with no doubting, stuck out to me. Because I don't know about you, but there are times that I'm asking in faith, yet I can sense that a little bit of doubt is creeping in. Does that mean that because of that doubt that I'm not going to receive what I'm asking for? See, I don't believe that he's actually talking, well, there's not supposed to be any doubt at all, because your mind will battle some things through the test, won't they? Amen. Your mind will go here and there. It's kind of like Mary. Lord, how can this be? Just because she asked that question when the angel Gabriel showed up to her didn't mean that she doubted. She just wanted to know, Lord, how are you going to do this? Man, I want to know. And so what I really believe when I look at this is that really what James is telling us here is that you and I do not need to have, we need to guard against having a doubting heart. And he goes on talking about this later on, kind of in verse 19, talks about sin. See, just because, for instance, every man has to battle against images and things that we need to turn our head from and guard our eyes. But as a man, just because I know that someone is pretty doesn't mean I have sinned. Now, if I sit there and go, yeah, obviously. That's when, because he begins to talk about when you do those things, sin begins to get conceived in your heart, and that's when it gives birth. So I believe here is talking about, and James is talking about, don't have a doubting heart. Guard against that. Push back against that. In times of testing, remind yourself of the promises of God. Amen? He says, then he goes on, it's kind of weird because then he starts talking about this rich person, poor person. What's he talking about there? What he's focusing on is that in the test, there's always a temptation to find something else besides Jesus to ease the pain in our life. Because they're difficult. Tests and trials are very difficult. And so what he's encouraging us here to do is he's saying, don't try to ease the pain. Don't try to find a material possession, things on this earth. Keep your eyes on Jesus. See, he's talking about rich and poor, and it'd be easy for us to go and look for material things to kind of ease the pain as we're walking through the test. No, God is doing something in you in the test. Remember, he's producing something. He's conforming you into something. And so what he's saying is find the true treasure in the test, and we know that Jesus, he is the true treasure. Finding him in the test. That's the true treasure. Growing in my relationship with him, because there's some things that you'll never know about God until you face the test. Amen. And there's actually some things. For instance, I was preaching this a couple of weeks ago in my church, and a lady came up to me after service, and she said, Pastor Lance, she said, man, thank you so much for that, because I just got diagnosed A couple months ago, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And she says, I want you to know that I have grown so much in my relationship with God by going through this test. I'm like, you're exactly right. She would have never grown the way she has grown without facing cancer in her life. See, every test can push us to Him in a greater way. Amen? He goes on, he said, blessed is the man. He gets back into the steadfastness thing. Who remains steadfast in the trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive what? The crown of life. Now, as I talk about test and trial, here's the difficult thing. It's because this preaches real good, but it's hard to live. Is I'm also talking about the test of going through a divorce. That's a difficult test. The test of, like I talked about with this lady, facing a sickness. The test of losing a loved one. That's difficult. Those are tough. So, Pastor Lance, how can you say that every test is a treasure? See, because, friends, as we face tests, we have to face them with an eternal mindset. What I see today, what I see tomorrow, and what I see 6 years from now is not what I'm living for. Amen. See, you and I, as followers of Christ, we're living for eternity. And that's why he talks about the crown of life. That there is something laid up for us as we face the test. In facing the test, you're praying these prayers. You may never get your prayer answered the way you think you should. But baby, I'm telling you, you may never receive the crown of life here, but you will one day. We're with Jesus in heaven. That crown of life is for you and I. And then he ends this little section by saying, do not be deceived. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. See, as we face test, the temptation for you and I is to look at others that have faced the same test and say, why am I not responding the way they are responding? What James is encouraging us here is not to compare one another. James is telling us, don't fall into the comparison trap of comparing yourself to someone else as you face the test. Listen, we all are made differently. We all have different personalities. We all have different giftings. And God is working in you. Be encouraged tonight as you go through the test. Really, my favorite part of chapter 1, though, is this next section. Because James begins to talk about how you and I are called not just to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And that's what I love about this. Man, James being a church pastor, he's so smart. Because James knows that the temptation for us as we're going through the test is to think this thought. Because I'm facing this, God can't use me. Because I'm going through this trial, there's no way God can use me. And James kills that by the very next section talking about, don't be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. Because God, friend, wants to use you in the test. In the trial, in the temptation. Because there is no greater testimony than someone who is walking through the test, who is standing strong and saying, God, I still believe in you. God, I still trust in you. No matter what hell is broken loose in my life, God, I'm still focusing on you. That is a true testimony. It's greater than me standing up here saying, hey, everything's all right, bless the Lord. No, you're talking about going through something. And still standing and saying, no, God is real. His power is strong. I'm believing in him. Man, what a great testimony. So James starts talking about how we are called to be hearers of the word and not doers. Because if we're hearers only, what does he tell us? We actually deceive ourselves. We don't even need the devil. We do it all by ourselves. And what happens, friends, and this is the danger of you and I, because obviously coming on a Wednesday night, we love church, don't we? We come to it all the time. Because you're here tonight, more than likely, every time these doors open, you show up. But there's a danger in that. And the danger is that we just become hearers and never doers of the word. And when he tells us when we do that, we begin to deceive ourselves. See, this whole little section here to the end of chapter 1 is really talking about how you and I can find out if I have a false relationship with God. He talks about self-deception. He talks about forgetfulness, and he talks about wrong speech. That those three things begin to reveal things of our heart that maybe my relationship with God is not where it should be. So God wants us to grow. So what does he do? He talks about this mirror. James begins to talk about this mirror, how there's times that we go to the mirror, and the mirror he's talking about is the Word of God. And we look at it, but we immediately, as we leave, forget who we are. See, here's what James wants us to understand. As we're living this Christian life, he wants us to understand this. Because the very first thing that he tells us in verse 19, he says, sorry, let me get it real quick. He says, know this, my beloved brothers. I love that word, beloved. Because that word, beloved, what he's doing is he's pulling from everything that the Apostle Paul has written. All about who we are in Christ. He's reminding us of who we are in Christ before he begins to talk about what we're called to do. And the reason why is this, friends. This is the second big point. Is because from your identity flows your activity. When we work for God as followers of Christ, we don't work for the love of God. We work from the love of God. It's the love of God that compels us into being doers of the word. Not because I'm trying to win favor from God, not because I'm trying to please him. Yes, I am, but ultimately I'm pleased in him because I'm in Christ, not because what I do. But we have these mirrors that God has given us, the mirror of the word. This is why we talk about over and over and over again, Bethel, read your Bible. You probably get sick of hearing it. Because he said, receive the implanted word, which is able to do what? Save your soul. See, reading that Bible keeps you from being self-deceived. You know what else keeps us from self-deception? Listen, I make an A-plus in self-deception. I'm just telling you right now. Without my wife and my kids, and also this, you know what the other mirror in our life that we need is community, spiritual family. That's why Pastor Mike was up here talking about taking a step, getting involved in membership. Because what that do is that allows you to begin to expose yourself. Listen, exposure is a good word. We can do expose ourselves to those that we can trust and say, hey, man, if you see anything in my life, I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to deceive myself. I know I'm prone to self-deception. I need you to come and tell me, please, so I can grow. See, the mirror of the word, but also the mirror of community. Don't be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Amen? And in the very end, he talks about how you and I, he talks about how we have to have the right speech. And I'm going to read it, I'm going to pray. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forget what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, oh, this is what Jesus has given us, the law of liberty, and perseveres. There's our word again, steadfast, persevere. Being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. He or she, ladies, this is you as well, will be blessed in his doing. Amen. Tonight as we pray, let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Number one, let's ask him to help us see every test as a treasure. Every trial that we walk through. Lord, this is a treasure. This is producing something in me. As I respond correctly, remember your response is your responsibility. As I respond correctly to the test, Lord, I can grow in my relationship with you. And then number two, Lord, thank you that even though I'm in the test, man, praise God, I can still be used by you. That from my identity flows my activity. That, Lord, as I realize who I am in Christ, now I can actually be a doer of the word. Amen. Father, we love you. Lord, we just present ourselves to you tonight, sir. We thank you for this, Lord, this message tonight, this book, the book of James. And Holy Spirit, we just invite you here tonight. We invite you into our hearts. If there's anything in us, Spirit of God, anything, Lord, that is not of you, Lord, we ask that you would remove it right now. Holy Spirit, put your finger on it. And Holy Spirit, we are praying that you would allow us, by your power, Lord, I know my friends here tonight, they're going through some type of test, some type of a trial, some type of a temptation. Lord, I pray that you would help us by your power to see that these tests and these trials can be productive. They can begin to produce, Lord, your character. Lord, the spirit of faith can arise in us, Lord, like never before, as we allow your power and your work in us. And Lord, as we're walking through the test, we would see that the test does not exempt us from being used by you. Lord, that we are born again, that we belong to you, and Lord, you have work for us to do. Lord, guard against us being hearers only. God, we don't want to walk in self-deception. Lord, let the mirror of your word, God, let it reveal who we are. And God, let the mirror of the community, Lord, the body of Christ, Lord, grow us in our relationship with you. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. And God, we receive it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Mike.
Wow, that was powerful, huh? Thank God for revelation from the word. When we read it, sometimes we read over things, but thank God for the preach word that illuminates things in our heart. I encourage you just to kind of continue to meditate on that. Really does, he doesn't know it, but kind of fall in line with what God's been speaking to us here on Sundays and Wednesdays at Bethel. So that's fantastic. Go ahead and stand to your feet. We're out a little bit early today. That's because Pastor Lance preached instead of me. But that doesn't mean you have to go home. You can fellowship. You do need to get your children. Don't forget them. Make sure you thank Mike Williams and the team back there. And also, how many of you guys have a child, have a middle school or a high schooler that's a part of Rush? Raise your hand. Wow. That's pretty awesome. A lot of you guys. Listen, what's going on in Rush? We walked through there before the service. It was hard to come down here. We wanted to be up there. It's really powerful. So thank you for the dedication, the commitment to bring your child out, to be a part of what God is doing here on Wednesday nights. And thank those leaders, those adult volunteers, Pastor Corey and Pastor Bryce and all those things. It's amazing what's going on up there, and it's good to be a part of a church. I have three children that go into, I had to count which ones who are attend that, and every week they leave impacted. Sometimes maybe more dramatic than others, but God is doing a great work in our middle school and high school, and we thank you. It's a privilege for us as a church to partner with you as parents in this thing called life. So I'm going to dismiss you. I'll pray a prayer dismissal. If you need prayer for anything, Pastor Lance and some of our leaders will be down here to pray for you, all right? If you just want to meet him, shake his hand, tell him he shouldn't have told the story about knocking me out of the playoffs, all those things. Whatever. Father, thank you so much, God, for an awesome night. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together in unity. And thank you for your presence that we feel. Thank you tonight for challenging us in your presence through the worship. But the whole night was worship. Thank you for the word that is a mirror into our soul and our lives. God, let us not grow weary of doing well. Help us to continually to return to that word, to be edified and strengthened. Thank you for the book of James. Thank you for Pastor Lance. God, I pray you bless he and Deanna, their five children. God, bless Bethel Community Church, Clarksville, Tennessee. Continue to grow that thing. Continue to give them influence in their city. God, continue to allow them to make a difference at Austin Peay, Fort Campbell, and in that city. God, I'm asking you as they raise up the banner of the black hand and white hand in Clarksville, Tennessee, God, that they would see racial reconciliation. They would see open doors into the government and that things would change and there would be a sense of awe, God, that falls even on the church there. Thank you for them, Lord. Thank you, God, for their leadership. Bless them. And bless us tonight, God, as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. If you need prayer, make it down front. God bless you.